welcome back to Astrology Now podcast. My name is Christine Rodriguez, and today we are going to be discussing the month of March, what is happening from a cosmic astrological perspective. As always, I like to remind everyone here on Astrology Now that we use the Vedic sidereal system of astrology, which is the astronomical placement of the planets at any given moment in time. It is the astronomical precise placement. That said, this measurement and calculation is different than the Western tropical placement. So if you're used to following Western tropical astrology, this podcast is going to be different, okay? So without further ado, happy March, happy leap year, and happy eclipse season. We are entering our first eclipse season of 2024 as an astrologer, and I'm sure, you know, other astrologers listening or people who are really interested in spirituality and cosmic events, this is always a really big, exciting time. And I will tell you, eclipse season isn't going to change everybody's life, right? It really does depend on our own individual birth chart. But for some of us, eclipse season can have a life-altering effect. There can be karmic meetings, there can be destined events, there can be pivot points. Big changes happen. 2023 was literally the best year of my life, and all the eclipses brought amazing things for me. So it's really important to remember also that if you are super astrologically savvy and you're listening to this and you're like, oh my God, my natal planets are going to be getting hit by the eclipses. Yes, there can be intense events that occur, but it can also bring a lot of really amazing things as well. So it's really important to kind of stay open to the possibilities of eclipse season. And on the note of eclipses, and then we'll really get into all of the events of March, but this is important. This is important to talk about, especially for people who are newer to astrology. So an eclipse is essentially a new moon or a full moon, okay? What makes it an eclipse is the involvement of Rahu and Ketu. So the karmic nodes are conjoined the new moon or the full moon, and that is what makes it an eclipse. So eclipses are inherently karmic. That's why I'm saying that as we move through eclipse season, get ready for these big karmic matters to arise. Information coming to the surface, different discoveries, different epiphanies, again, maybe meeting somebody, getting some sort of opportunity, having some sort of shift, definitely karmic. And the sign that Rahu and Ketu are transiting, that sign or those signs are going to be the ones that are particularly affected. So if you have planets in the sidereal sign of Virgo, if you have planets in the sidereal sign of Pisces, the next 18 months are going to be particularly big for you. Okay? Also, though, it could be if you're running a moon dasha, a sun dasha, Rahu Ketu dasha. I know that some of you don't know what dashas are. Dashas are planetary periods, and they activate certain planets in our birth chart. So if you're running a sun dasha, the sun is particularly impacted. So even if you don't have planets in Virgo and Pisces, the sidereal Virgo and Pisces, if you're running one of those dashas, this period of time will definitely impact you more. So those are some things to keep in mind. It's a big 18 months for Pisces and Virgo. We'll talk about the specific degrees as we get through the podcast here, but just get ready to kind of put on your seatbelt, get ready for the ride. Interesting things are bound to occur between this month and next month. So we're entering eclipse season here. So as we enter the month of March, we still have the Saturn, Sun, Mercury conjunction in the sidereal sign of Aquarius. We have Mars and Pisces conjoined in the sidereal sign of Capricorn. So just a reminder, and we spoke about this on the last podcast, but with Saturn and Mercury so close to the sun, this means that Saturn and Mercury are getting combust. So it's putting a stress on the planet Saturn. It's putting a stress on the planet Mercury. It's in Aquarius. So there is this impact on technology, communication, humanitarian efforts, leadership. Okay. Now there's also this pressure on relationships. There's a lot of passion brewing here. So this is kind of what we're starting off March with. Now, Saturn is going to be out of combustion on March 17th of 2024. I think that's going to bring a relief. You know, Saturn and the Sun are not historically friends. And again, Saturn combustion doesn't happen super often. And with this Saturn combustion, with Saturn and Sun being so close together, the Sun is our vitality. It's what lets us feel bright and confident and warm. Saturn is restrictive and it represents humility and discipline. So the energies are at odds. And so that being said, there can be vacillations with our sense of confidence, with our self-esteem. There might be vacillations with our diligence or discipline. But I do want to say around this period of time, if you are being called to be disciplined, or you're being called into a role of leadership or influence, it's definitely time to take it seriously. So again, if at work you're offered some sort of opportunity, or if you're given some sort of project, or maybe you're assigned some sort of routine by a health provider or a counselor or coach, this is the time to really take responsibility seriously, to be proactive, to be diligent. I'm actually thinking, I went to a physical therapist for the first time and she gave me exercises and she's like, do these every day. So it's like time to take that seriously. So it can be as big as a huge project at work or a responsibility at work, but then it could also show up in these other ways. But really, moral of the story, it's a time to really take responsibility seriously. If we don't, there could be some implications there. And the Sun is also the authority. And so there can be some miscommunications with authority figures. There can be some tension or some conflict, some power struggles. So just have that on your radar and try to be mindful, because there can be some pretty big miscommunications and tensions with our bosses, CEOs, people in positions of leadership. And even if you're in a position of leadership, you might be, again, maybe vacillating with a sense of confidence or feeling burdened, feeling like your employees or your coworkers or collaborators, I should say, may not be picking up as much slack. And so just try to be patient, try to be pragmatic, try to have conversations for clarity before jumping to any conclusions. So Mars and Venus are still conjoined in the sign of Capricorn here in early March. And so we've spoken about this before. I don't want to go too far into it. But essentially with Mars and Venus in Capricorn, there can be a lot of impulsive energy, passionate energy. Mars and Venus in Capricorn, it's great for feeling inspired and for feeling extra passion and for feeling courageousness and valor and drive. It's really fun and beautiful energy, but we might be feeling a little bit more impulsive, a little bit more combative. There can be miscommunications in romantic relationships, but there can also be a lot of potential for getting swept away by relationship or swept away by intimacy. And so it's certainly a time to pay attention to long-term implications, long-term outcomes. So if you're feeling tempted to make any big relationship changes, or if you're feeling like having some sort of impulsive conversation with a loved one, just try to stay grounded, try not to be impulsive, try to really think things through, because while Mars is in Capricorn, we're just more prone to arguments and disputes and conflict. Okay, maybe some control things coming up with love also. one of my favorite teachers and friends, Selena, she once told me to always make decisions from a place of strength and love. That being said, while Mars and Venus are in Capricorn, before making any big decisions, is it from a place of strength? Is it from a place of love? Is it pragmatic? So moving forward here with the month of March, this is just kind of the energy that we're starting off with. I do want to say just very briefly with the Saturn, Mercury, and Sun in Aquarius, it's been so fascinating to see so many headlines in the media about humanitarian efforts, health and wellness, and these solar flares having issues with technology. So wild. And this is it. You know, Aquarius is a scientific sign. It's also a sign that is related to health and humanity, and it's futuristic and progressive. So this emphasis on the future, this emphasis on AI, on new technologies, this is what Aquarius is all about. So March 6th through March 25th, Mercury is in the sign of Pisces. And so this is quite important because Mercury is debilitated in the sign of Pisces. And Mercury is moving pretty quick. I mean, March 6th through March 25th, Mercury is speeding through Pisces because it's getting ready to retrograde. It's we're getting ready for a really interesting period of time here between March and April, okay? But Mercury being debilitated in Pisces, it's an excellent time for creativity, poetry, writing, enjoying the arts. It's excellent for spirituality and meditation. But Mercury is rationality and strategy, our cognitive processing. It is our ability to communicate well, to be proficient with technology. Like, that's really what Mercury is all about. And so that being said, you know, Mercury's natural state of being is wanting to gather information and organize it and process it and disperse it. Mercury is all about education and, again, strategy. So when it comes into this non-linear, spiritual, nebulous sign of Pisces, that's why it becomes debilitated. It can't operate as well as it wants to. It's operating differently. So still, we're going to need to be very mindful with communication and technology. And for us on a personal level, when it comes to strategy or our rational mind, it might require a little bit more practice accessing. And we will talk more about that as we kind of move through the month. But, you know, depending on our rising sign, it's going to affect us differently. I do weekly horoscopes at patreon.com/astrologynowpodcast, where I talk about how all these transits will influence each of the 12 signs. So if you're interested, definitely sign up for Patreon. But yeah, so Mercury in Pisces, though it's debilitated, it's not all bad because it can also give this really beautiful, creative, ethereal quality. So I would say between March 6th and 25th for now, because again, it's going to get a little bit more complicated. But for now, I would say that the best way to manage Mercury in Pisces is ahead of time, get things organized, you know, make sure that all of your information is backed up on your computer. Make sure that all of your ducks are in a row, you have your financial matters in order. Anything that needs a lot of organization and strategy, just make sure you have it kind of completed now, because once we enter this period with Mercury in Pisces, we're going to be a lot more likely to make mistakes, to overlook details, to struggle with organization, maybe even struggle with being able to analyze things. So it's just good to get it done now. And we're kind of entering tax season. So for those of you who are filing your taxes, just make sure to really pay attention to detail, maybe have a second set of eyes, overlook everything. Because again, those things could be a little bit more complicated. And remember that Mercury is currently a karma control planet. So wherever Rahu and Ketu are transiting, the dispositor is going to be a karma control planet. So this year, Ketu is in the sign of Virgo. Rahu is in the sign of Pisces. Pisces is ruled by Jupiter. Virgo is ruled by Mercury. And so because Ketu is in Virgo, ruled by Mercury, Mercury is a karma control planet. it being debilitated is going to be pretty interesting, okay? I think that it's going to have a pretty big effect on the United States specifically. I think it's going to be a time where there is a lot of interesting stuff happening on the media, a lot of interesting things happening with technology. For the chart that I use for the United States, Mercury governs the 10th house as well as the 7th house. So there can be issues with foreign affairs, with alliances, with the government. You know, I think there's going to be this focus on the economy and focus on finances. And so it's going to be a pretty big month for those things. So March 7th through March 31st, Venus is going to enter the sign of Aquarius. So Venus has been in Capricorn for the last, you know, couple of weeks, and now Venus is getting ready to enter yet another Saturn ruled sign of Aquarius. Venus in Aquarius is quite an independent placement, and it's also, you know, Venus has to do with love and relationships and fertility, and Aquarius is progressive and futuristic. It's also technology. So for us on an individual level with Venus entering Aquarius, it's actually a great time to commune, to gather, to spend time with friends, to remember our own sense of individuality. When we remember our sense of individuality and identity, it only benefits all of our other relationships. I don't know about for you all, but for me, when I'm spending time with my partner, it's like, we rock climb, we cook dinner, we walk the dog, we have so much fun together that's like, why would I, you know, why would I do other things? And it's important to spend time with friends, to go and do my own thing, right? To have my own sense of identity. It fuels the relationship, just like it's important for him to go off and have his friends and do his escapades and whatever. It helps both of us. And so just kind of a reminder that sometimes when we really enjoy being around our person or our people, we just kind of stick to what we know. This is a great time to remember those other things in life that bring us joy, the hobbies that we've forgotten about, the people that we've forgotten about, the places that we've been wanting to visit. So if you've been wanting to partake in activities or ventures that really amplify your sense of self and independence, this is a really nice time to do that, to find joy in those things. And I'm not saying to write off our significant people and not spend time with them. Of course not. It's always an amazing time to harbor intimacy and connection. And it could be nice to go out with friends, have a nice dinner, do something exciting, and then come home and share all about it with our significant people. Okay. Not saying to write anybody off. I'm just saying that it could be a time to harbor that sense of self and sense of identity. Venus in Aquarius, and the reason I say friends and groups and community, Aquarius is the sign of groups, right? Aquarius is the 11th sign of the zodiac. It's associated to the 11th house. The 11th house is the house of friendship, communion, groups, gatherings. So it's a really nice time to be social. Maybe putting something together at your home where you have a potluck, or you have a welcoming of spring party, or maybe you even have an eclipse party where people come over and enjoy the eclipse together. Regardless, it's a really nice time to find joy through groups and community, maybe meeting your person's friends or spending time with your person's family or vice versa. Now, I love Venus in Aquarius. I'm just giggling because I'm thinking of one of my favorite climbing partners. She has Venus in Aquarius and she is amazing. She's like one of the funniest people I know, and she really does embody Venus in Aquarius. She's like very eclectic. She like put me on to AI generators. She's like very futuristic. She's just a riot. But something that I love about her, that I really, really value about her, is her sense of independence and her sense of individuality. And she can be in a significant relationship and then she can still have this very strong sense of self, and she doesn't lose herself in relationship, you know? So just kind of thinking about her. Now, on a global level with Venus in Aquarius, Venus is fertility and it's love and romance. Aquarius is scientific and it is progressive and it's new age. all of this emphasis on IVF and future technology involving fertility and reproduction, it's going to be emphasized in the media. It's going to be a thing. And there may even be new things coming out. There may be new scientific breakthroughs with fertility, or maybe birth control, or something with relationships or sexuality in some way. So just kind of keep that in the back of your mind as well. And Aquarius is the sign of humanity and humanitarian efforts. And so there will definitely be this merging of fertility, love, romance, what is humane, what is, you know, ethical, having these questions kind of brought up for people to discuss. I also want to say that for you, if you are wanting to schedule any type of checkup or treatment involving fertility or reproduction, this could be a good time to do so if you talk to your doctor about it and feel that it is an appropriate time. I say that because Aquarius is all about healing and science, especially the nakshatra of Shatabisha. Shatabisha is the 100 healers. And so there's this emphasis on health, healing, wellness. So if you are wanting to schedule any appointments for gynecology or reproductive health or fertility, this could be a time where it's particularly supported. And again, you should always check with your healthcare professionals on that to see if it's appropriate. So between March 14th and April 13th, the sun is going to be in the sign of Pisces. So keep in mind that in the sidereal system, we are using a different calculation. And so for us, the sun is going to be in the sign of Pisces between March 14th and April 13th. So first of all, if you were born between March 14th and April 13th, then happy birthday month to all of our beautiful Pisces suns. Thank you so much for contributing with your amazing sense of spirituality and artistic visions and your incredible way of kind of moving past material reality and giving insight to spiritual ideas and spiritual concepts and kind of being able to investigate that liminal space between material reality and ethereal reality. And all of our beautiful Pisces suns are so sweet and so charming and often humane and kind. And so thank you so much for bringing that energy into the world. We love Pisces here. So on a personal level with Sun in Pisces, you know, as we move through March, what we're going to see is we're going to see a stellium in the sign of Pisces, and then we're going to see a stellium in the sign of Aquarius. And so we have all of this emphasis here in the scientific, rational, fixed sign of Aquarius, and then the nonlinear, idealistic, dreamy sign of Pisces. And so it's a really amazing time to harness that spiritual, ethereal, idealistic quality of Pisces, okay? Because the idealism of Pisces, it reminds us that life can be different. You know, as we kind of move through our life, we develop these conclusions. Life is going to be a certain way. I'm only going to have certain types of relationships. I'm only capable of fulfilling this role, or I may or may not reach this dream. We kind of fix ourselves in this box. And the beauty of Pisces is that the idealism helps remind us, no, we can be different. Life can be different. I can choose to view things differently. I can have different relationships. I can fulfill this dream that I've been wanting. I can kind of work beyond that limiting barrier that I've created inside of my mind. And so again, that's the beauty of the energy of Pisces. And then we're going to have that pragmatism of Aquarius, where it's ruled by Saturn. It, you know, Mars is going to enter Aquarius soon. And so we can also strike that balance with, yes, the world can be different. What we believe can be different. And what are the practical steps to make it happen? How can I show up with discipline and commitment and groundedness in order to change my life in the way that I want it to be changed. So there's definitely a beautiful opportunity here. And the energy is conflicted, you know? And so for some of us, we may have this internal struggle between the head and the heart. We may have an internal struggle between idealism and practicality. And so some of us may be too practical and needing to lean into that Jovian idealism. Some of us may have been way too idealistic, just kind of waiting for things to happen and land in our lap. And then this month, it's time to really make some big decisions and to be disciplined and committed in making those changes occur. And so I wanted to throw that out there as well. Definitely a good time to strike the even balance of both, because we need to have that hope and we need to have that idealism and we need to have that ability to see that life really can be different. It really can. And then we also need to have that beautiful discipline to make the changes occur. So that's really on a personal level. I also want to say that Pisces can bring up things from the past. It can bring up things from our subconscious. And Pisces can also give this energy where we are wanting to kind of escape mundane reality. And so escapism can be coming up for us. It can show up in a myriad of ways. Pisces is escape through the material world through spirituality and meditation and chanting, but then it can also be escaping through drugs, alcohol, addictions. So have that in the back of your mind as we move into this period. If you know that you're prone to escapism, try to have a plan ahead of time to keep yourself grounded and not to fall into any negative patterns or addictions. And again, there will be more on these things as we kind of move through the month together. I also want to say on a global level with this Aquarius season and stellium and Aquarius and entering Pisces season is that there can be an emphasis on spirituality and religious views and spiritual views. And then of course there can also be an emphasis on drugs and it could be illegal drugs. It could also be pharmaceuticals. There might be more in the media about the fentanyl crisis or these other, you know, drug-related crises that are happening. But it could also be that there is some sort of breakthrough with pharmaceuticals or with medical technology as well. So big stuff on the horizon for medicine, I believe. And so what else do we have to talk about? On March 15th, Mars is going to enter Aquarius and it's going to be conjoined Saturn. And so this is a very technical placement. Again, there's going to be an emphasis on technology, on AI, on scientific breakthroughs, on medical breakthroughs. For the US, there's going to be a lot of tension with this placement. The United States is in Seti Sati. Now Mars is going to be transiting the moon of the United States. So I do see there being controversy and conflict and challenges for the United States. So on March 10th of 2024, we have the new moon in Aquarius in the nakshatra of Purva Bhadrapada. We will have a podcast specifically on this, but just kind of mark it on your calendar. We have that new moon coming up. On March 18th through March 19th, Mercury and Rahu are going to be in the same degree. Mercury is going to be debilitated. 18th and 19th of March, definitely a time to be extra mindful with communication and technology. Have it marked on your calendar. Things can be going awry. We might send out the wrong text. We might send out the wrong email. Our technology may be going again awry, like our computer might shut down or our car may have something go wrong with it. And Mercury is the planet of the nervous system, of the skin. Mercury can also have an association to the lungs. And so take extra great care of yourself in advance. If you know that the media is overly stimulating, take a break from the media around that period. If there are things in your life that overstimulate you and kind of shock your nervous system, take extra great care of yourself between the 18th and the 19th. and really this month in general, but 18th and 19th particularly. So March 25th of 2024, we will have our first eclipse of 2024. It's a lunar eclipse in the nakshatra of Hasta, which is in Virgo. And this eclipse is going to be taking place with Mercury and the Sun. So this is going to be a very intense lunar eclipse. The fact that it's going to be that, you know, the Sun is going to be with that debilitated Mercury, Mercury is going to be Gandanta. We can expect a lot of stuff around technology and communication and media. And it's the lunar eclipse, so there's going to be this emotional quality to it. We will have a specific podcast dedicated just to this lunar eclipse. Again, for some of you out there, get ready, because we might have these big fated events occur where life changes forever. And then we get ready for our big eclipse on April 8th, okay? And so we'll talk about this more as we move through the month, but this is that total eclipse that we are having. It's going to be huge. It is going to impact the US directly. It's going to be in the sign of Pisces, which means it's also the Vedic New Year. This is a big, big period of time. So between March 25th and April 8th, we can definitely anticipate big global events to unfold. Big personal events to unfold. I just want to reiterate again, for us on a personal level, the eclipses can bring things to light. It can bring discoveries. It can bring information. It can bring up things from the past. It can cause us to be confronted with decisions that will greatly impact our future. So have that in the back of your mind. Other notes that I took, Saturn is going to be with the Sun and Venus or Mars for most of the month. Yes. So at the beginning of the month, as we've been discussing, Saturn is going to be with the Sun and Mercury. And then as we kind of move through the month, Saturn is going to be with Venus and Mars. And so with that heavy influence of Saturn, there is this serious quality to it. And there is this emphasis on discipline and commitment and consistency. Very briefly, and then we'll wrap up for today. I was sharing on social media about the science of yoga. And the science of yoga is based off of the concept that with repetition, things change, right? If you've gone to an asana class, which is a physical yoga class, you've noticed that the more consistently that you go, the quicker your body changes. With discipline and with consistency, we see physical change. And that's just the physical attribute. There's this profound energetic quality that shifts as well. The science of neural pathways is also based on with consistency and repetition, things change. And so just a reminder, neural pathways are the pathways in our brain that cause us to kind of like act automatically. And so, for example, if I am used to getting interrupted while working and then snapping, right? Someone interrupts me while I work, I sit there and I snap at someone. It's a neural pathway. It's pretty much an automatic response. It is completely possible to change that reaction with discipline. Somebody interrupts me while I work. I take a deep breath. I kind of change my internal dialogue, and I choose to respond thoughtfully instead of reacting. There will still be that inclination to react at first, but with discipline and self-control, I can eventually get to the space where more often than not, I'm responding from a place of love and compassion instead of snapping. With relationships, right? If we're used to reacting to our partner in a certain way, when they leave the house. They leave the house, they don't send us a text message, we get filled with all these stories about how they don't love us and they're leaving and whatever, we act out. With consistency and repetition, we can change the internal dialogue. My partner loves me, they're coming back, I'm not being abandoned. You're changing the meaning behind the event. It's going to be difficult in the beginning, and with consistency and repetition, we can begin to change how we perceive that experience. And then how we actually experience the experience. But it all starts with the discipline of controlling our mind and our thought and our reaction. We cannot have that change if we don't have discipline. It's impossible. So if we want results in a physical yoga practice, we have to be consistent. We have to be disciplined. We have to go regularly. If we want change in our mind, we have to have the consistency in change of behavior. We have to have consistency in change of how we perceive situations, the stories that we attach to situations. We have to have consistency in how we react to different events. And consistency requires discipline. It requires control. If we don't have control, we have no control over our mind, we'll never change. We're never going to evolve. So if we want this deep evolution and transformation in our life, we absolutely have to have discipline. And discipline is Saturn. And so the reason I'm bringing this all up is because Saturn is having such a big impact on planets right now and planetary energies right now. And for the month of March, I mean, Sun and Mercury to start, and then later it's going to be Mars and Venus. And so when it comes to how we respond with communication, when it comes to how we respond to relationship and intimacy, frustration and aggression, it's all going to be coming up. So for all of us have things that we need to work on. Some of us are excellent communicators and we have issues with anger. Some of us are great with managing anger and conflict, but we struggle with feeling loved or we struggle with accepting intimacy. And so whatever it is that is a pattern or a habit, this month really offers that opportunity to change with that consistent effort. So I hope that this is inspiring. I hope that it's helpful. Saturn can feel heavy and it can feel serious, but just know that if you end up getting triggered or something painful happens, try to really sit with yourself and analyze it because it may be a breadcrumb of information for you into what really needs to be healed and transformed within yourself to live a more free life and to be free of these patterns and pain. And one more thing to remember is that though we are not responsible for being hurt, we are responsible for our own healing. And that is also Saturn. Saturn is discipline and pragmatism and also personal responsibility. So it's an amazing time to show up for ourselves. It's an amazing time to show up for our own healing. Aquarius, again, the 100 healers, the nakshatra of the 100 healers resides in Aquarius. So it's an amazing time to be an active participant in our own healing, rather it be physical, mental, or emotional. If you'd like to go to my website, it's innerknowing.yoga. My Instagram is astrologynow_podcast. And my Patreon is patreon.com/astrologynowpodcast. Again, my name is Christine Rodriguez. This is Astrology Now. Thank you so much.